to the full extent. That example is given by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto, on the Bhagavatam. So, when I'm talking about sense control, that example is very much appropriate for everybody. So we should apply that example to ourselves.
Practical, for example, in the case of prasadam. So, to what extent should it be let loose, and to what extent?
It depends on the individual. As much as you need, you take. How much? How do you know how much you need? Because you have to experiment. Some days you take a little too much, and then you feel, ooh. And then other days you try to curb it down, and maybe you take a little too little, and then you're always thinking of, maybe there's a few chapatis left, or I can go back there, right? So then it's just a matter of time, you find your balance. So then, if you pull too tightly on the horse, he'll throw you off, right? And if you let go completely, then he'll just go running off the cliff. Ah! You'll just go right over into a ditch or something, you know. So there has to be something in between there. You're holding the reins, but not so tight and not completely loose. It's in the middle somewhere. So each person has the balance to find. You know, that's probably the first thing that you work on, is finding the balance for you. Because each person, the balance is in a different place.
Regarding the position of Babaji's, where they come in yoga ladder?
Baba. In the yoga ladder.
So
what kind of Babaji's are you talking about?
Suppose Jiva Goswami or Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, they had complete devotion.
Yes.
But then activity is not there. So where do they come?
They're in the Bhakti Yoga school, in the Bhakti platform, Nirgun Bhakti. They're Paramahamsas. Not only the Paramahamsas, but they're Nitya Siddha Parishad. You can't even find a place for them. They're too so elevated. Well, those babas, you know.
See, when if they are not engaged,
they're Paramahamsas.
Even if activity is not there, they're considered in Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah. Because the activity is going on in the heart. They're doing all their seva and nitya lila. They're seeing the lilas, and they're actually participating in the uppercut lilas. So they're active, but not in this worldly plane. Okay, this is the last question in the back.
To set an example, one should work, even though work has associated with some faults.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one is businessman and he has to hide his profit. So cheating is one of the...
He has to hide his profit, yes.
So cheating is one of the anartham. So if work is not conducive for one's Krishna consciousness, what you should do?
What? You mean doing sales? Marketing like this? Merchant work you're talking about? You want to hear about that? Yeah, well anyway, it's not really cheating in the very negative sense of the term. It's just business. In the business world, everybody's a cheater. So therefore, just like in Russia, everybody takes something from the factory they work in. It's considered socially acceptable. And also for like dentists to get some money under the table and not give it to the big boss who owns the building. know. Right? So it's acceptable. It's not considered cheating. Although it's cheating. But it's... because everyone does it, so it's okay. So, in business, everybody tells that for you, I make no profit. But they cannot exist without some profit. So when a person says that, it just means that, you know, he's giving you the lowest price he can possibly give, you know, without some money, without too much profit. He's giving you something. He's making something out of it. So anyway, that's okay. That's not, it's for Vaishnava, he can make business, and he also has to say that I'm not making any profit, and he's making some profit. It's okay. Krishna also, you know, he's from Mathura, so he's also, you know, wheeling and dealing and cheating, you know, in different ways. That's a different, that is a philosophy class, it's not a counseling session. Counseling session is in a different forum. This is philosophy. Okay? Well, if you want some counseling, go to a counselor. But the philosophy is that the Vaishnava who has Vaishavarna, he can also make profit, and he doesn't have to reveal how much profit he's making. What's the big deal? Even Krishna told Yudhisthira to lie on the battlefield. Then if Yudhisthira can lie, who's higher, he's a Kshatriya, an emperor, then what to speak of some Vanya, you know, some Vanik. Okay, now we will begin.
Guru, all devotees have a request to you, that if you could end by 12 o'clock, and then at 12 o'clock tell us something about how you met Prabhupada, a little bit about your lesson.
Oh my God.
We have 1.5 hours left.
Okay, we'll see. Plus my three. Okay, let us chant together, brothers. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Arjayam Nivasvanmane Paha Manurishvakate Bravid. The Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, said, I have instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manav, the father of mankind. And Manav, in turn, instructed to Ikshvaku. So now, in this chapter, Krishna explains the reasons for his appearance and the eternal nature of his birth and activities in Janma and Karma. And he also gives a list to Arjuna of all types of sacrifices. And of all the sacrifices, Jnana is supreme, knowledge. So in the previous chapter, Krishna was glorifying Nishkam Karma Yoga and its result, which was knowledge. So now in this verse, Krishna, in one verse, he's glorifying both of these yogas with the word yoga. So he spoke about these both in chapter 3, so now he's glorifying them both. In this one verse, he glorifies Nishkam Karma as a means for attaining Jnana. Nishkam Karma is a means to both Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. One can go either way. He can also begin Ashtanga Yoga, that will come later. But this Jnana Yoga is not impersonal. knowledge matures, one attains jnana nishtha, and he becomes detached. So he can renounce the world. He can renounce his work. He can renounce sense gratification. That's called sannyas. And in this, these first six chapters, we're talking about karma sannyas, giving up work. We're not just talking about someone with a danda and upavesh and Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasi, although there are some similarities. But we're talking about karma sannyas, giving up work, and that's in chapter 5. In bhakti yoga, work continues after realization, after jnana nishtha, because bhakti yoga includes all of the components of the work, of all the yoga system. So his activity continues, but it's nirguna karma. Okay. So he doesn't have to renounce that because it's not based on his rajas and his selfishness. It's an expression of his nirgun bhakti to serve Krishna. It's his seva to Krishna. But we're not discussing fully the bhakti path now. We're talking about the path of karma. Yeah. So at the end of chapter 1, Arjuna was having a nervous breakdown. In the beginning of chapter 2, it would mention that Ashu Purna Kalakshanam. So that Arjuna's eyes were full of tears. And then Krishna began to, and he was giving arguments, and then Krishna began to instruct him like this. Then, at the end of chapter 2, Krishna was describing this elevated sthita pragya level. And and we mentioned that he was talking about buddhi so many times. And he was talking about detachment and sense control and peace. But at the same time, he was telling Arjuna to fight and do his karma. So therefore, Arjuna was confused and asked the question in the verse of chapter 3. So now, we should try to analyze what is the connecting features or causal factors between chapter 3 and chapter 4. Why does Krishna say, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avayam, that I told this yoga system to Vivaswan. Suddenly, out of the blue, he starts talking about the sun god and how he told this yoga to the sun god. Why does he say this? Did he have a sudden urge to explain the parampara, the cyclic chain? What do you think? Shamaru Prabhu.
Last chapter is Avrutam Jnanam Edenam. He was telling how the knowledge is covered.
Yes.
So, and he was also talking about Nishkam Karma.
Yes.
So basically, what is this transcendental knowledge he wants to clarify?
Yes, true. That's a general link. But what is the more specific link? In other words, he could have said, I told this science to Lord Brahma. Or I instructed, the Navayogendras in this, or Mahadev. Why does he tell that I told Vivaswan this? Okay. Wait a minute, you should raise your hand. Yes, Radhe Shyam.
Vivaswan also comes in the kingly or royal order.
Right.
And Krishna also wants to establish his supremacy in the series of his
life. Krishna wants to establish the supremacy of
himself.
Of himself. Well, okay, we could conjecture that that's a possibility. Yeah. Yes. Arjuna is in the Suryavamsa dynasty. Bibhishan is the leader of a planet called the Sun. Right? And he is the ruler there. He is a Kshatriya. He is the head of all the Suryavamsa Kshatriyas. And Arjuna is also the ruler of a planet called Earth. They both have the same job, the same function. Arjuna comes in the same line as Bhimaswan. And what is the job of the Kshatriya who's ruling? Other than getting taxes and protecting the citizens, but what does he have to do for the citizens? What is his one of his main functions as a leader?
To enlighten them in God consciousness.
To enlighten them in God consciousness, yes? What else?
To make arrangements so that they can get out the sense gratification.
Get free from sense gratification, yeah. What was Krishna just talking about at the end of chapter 3? Huh? No, at the end of chapter
3.
Getting free from lust. The ruler's main duty is to help the citizens, to enlighten them and engage them in their specific activities, swadharma, so that they can become free from lust. Prabhupada mentions in the commentary, the kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants. And therefore, the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. So this is the connection between chapter 3 and 4. Krishna was describing to Arjuna the karma yoga system brings knowledge and you realize that you're different from the body and the mind and the intelligence. And in this way, with spiritual strength, you can conquer this enemy, lust. So this is nishkam karma with jnana, coming to the level of jnana nishkam. So he remembered, because Arjuna is the leader of a planet, his duty is to help protect the citizens from lust. And he remembered when he was telling Bibhaswan the same thing. And he just said, I told this system of yoga, not just to you, Arjuna, but I told it to the sun god. And you were there at that time. So this will come up now. Prabhupada describes the time period that the Gita is over 120 million years old because Bibhaswan, right, is very ancient. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to get into all the things now. So Prabhupada also writes, it was spoken to the sun god Bibhaswan because he is also a Kshatriya and is the father of all Kshatriyas who are descendants of the sun god or the Suryavamsa Kshatriyas. Okay. So, this is a very ancient science. It's not just 5,000 years old. It's over 120 million years old. And actually, the real fact is that it's eternal. Because in the previous day of Brahma, the Lord came and he spoke it to Arjuna at that time. And in the previous day of Brahma and the previous, and even in the previous creation. So the science is eternal. The Bhagavad Gita is actually eternal. Okay, text 2. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayu vidu sataleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Right? So the Lord spoke it to the Raja Rishis and Brahma Rishis, but particularly because the duty of the Raja Rishis is to protect the citizens. That's very important that they understand these things. And now in the course of time, yoga nashta, it appears that this yoga system is destroyed or lost. So therefore, he is speaking to Parantapa, Arjuna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that I'm telling you this because of two sentiments that are inherent within our relationship. First, you are my bhakta, which means you are my servant. And secondly, you are my sakha. You're my friend. It's not appropriate to disclose this knowledge to anyone who doesn't have these attributes. That is why it is rahasyam. It is a secret. Prabhupada comments that at the present moment, now you'll notice in this section, he really gets fiery about the parampara, because, it's what Krishna's talking about. At the present moment, there are many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplined succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic, because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Right? They want the kingdom of God without God. And they want the words of Krishna without Krishna, because then they can propound their own doctrines and various twisted philosophies using Krishna's book. Okay. Text 3. Sa evayam maya tevya yoga prokta puratanaha bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam yatan uttamam. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend. And therefore, you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So this friendship, sakha, it indicates or implies knowing the heart of the Guru. In other words, they're the same in heart. They understand one another. Prabhupada again comments, there are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge. Some of them have commentaries by devotees, and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Prabhupada continues, the demonic do not accept Lord Krishna as he is. Instead, they concoct something about Krishna and mislead general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. Here is a warning about such misleading paths. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjuna and thus be benefited by this great science of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So also we see that, okay, Krishna mentioned in the first verse, yoga. He's referring to this karma yoga, bringing to one to jnana yoga. In the second verse, the same thing, yoga. And in this verse also, yoga prokta. Right, that I told this to you, Arjuna. This is a very secret system, because not everybody is a devotee or a friend of Krishna. That's why it's very rare. And this is the uttama, is above tama. Yoga system. Arjuna vacha aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvataha katam etat bhajaniyam tvam adau prakavaniti. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? how could he not believe Krishna's words? The fact is that Arjuna is not inquiring for himself, but for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the demons who do not like the idea that Krishna should be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them only, Arjuna inquires on this point, as if he were himself not aware of the Personality of Godhead. As it will be evident from the 10th chapter, Arjuna knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of everything, and the last word in transcendence. Of course, Krishna also appeared as the son of Devaki on this earth. How Krishna remained the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal original person, is very difficult for an ordinary man to understand. Therefore, to clarify this point, Arjuna put this question before Krishna so that he himself could speak authoritatively. See, Arjuna knew that a gentleman will never begin speaking about himself, bragging. And so therefore he asked this question to allow Krishna to speak about himself. And this is like the seed, in one sense, of the middle six chapters, where Krishna speaks a lot about himself and tells all about his potencies and how he controls the worlds and how everything is actually him. He is the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, etc. How the yoga paths are meant for going to him. And how he rectifies the mistakes of his devotees. And so many things about himself. So this is the first time where Krishna is speaking about himself. And actually Arjuna knows Krishna is the Supreme just by looking at his face. He doesn't need Krishna to prove that he's God, either by speaking or by showing his Vishwarupa. But he's, as Prabhupada said, he's doing it for others. For demons who don't accept it, and for other people that maybe have some doubts. Okay, text number 5. So now, Arjuna has asked this question, and this kind of forces Krishna to reveal that he's Bhagavan. Because he can't answer the question without revealing his divinity. It's almost like you could say he made a mistake by saying he told Vivaswan. Because now he kind of put himself in a position where Arjuna asked him, you know, how can this be? And now he has to answer. But that is kind of like a planned mistake for our benefit, so that we can understand about Krishna's janma and karma. Alright, text 5. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Bahuni Me Vyatitani Janmani Tavacharjana Tanyaham Veda Sarvani Natvam Vitha Parantapa. The Personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy, Parantapa. So he answers the question in this verse. Many births both you and I have passed. Krishna says, I have also instructed this science in my other avatars. And tavacha means you were also there. You have also appeared as my associate whenever I have descended. You were there when I spoke to Vivaswan. I, being Sarvagya, remember all my appearances for the fulfillment of my lila. Oh, I'm sorry. I, being Sarvagya, remember all my appearances. But for the fulfillment of my lila, I've covered your knowledge. That's why you don't remember your previous births. So now you have the abhiman of Kuntiputra. You have the Abhiman or the mentality as the son of Kunti in the role of a great warrior. So the implication is that now please assist me in Dharma Samstapana and Vinashaya cha Duskritam. Duskrita Vinash and Dharma Samstapana. This is the implication that because you have the mentality of a great warrior in this Leela, in this avatar, or in this descent that I have come. So now the implication is that you now please assist me. Looks like it's indirectly referring to text 8. So Krishna says that you are dull like a tree, Arjuna. Now I've covered your intelligence to perform my lila. So this is a very clear difference between Bhagavan and Jiva. Although Arjuna is not just a Jiva, he's Sarup Shakti, but he's playing the role of an ordinary person. So the Lord remembers everything, but Arjuna does not. Even though Arjuna has always been with Krishna whenever he descended in all of his different avatars, comes with him. So text 6. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim svam adhishtaya sambhavati atmamayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So Krishna says that you and I are the same age, Arjuna, but I am the controller of all. And I am unborn, while you are controlled and born again and again. So in this verse, there's a lot of commentary by the Acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the important words here that they mention is Aja, unborn, Avyayatma, indestructible, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, Prakritin, which means various things, nature, and Atmamayaya, by my energy. These are the words that they comment on. So Arjuna hears Aja, that Krishna says Aja, and he says, but so what? I mean, the Jiva is also Aja. But then Krishna says, but I am Avyayatma. My body is indestructible. The Jiva is also Aja, but his body is destroyed again and again. But Krishna's body is not destroyed. So that Krishna explains to Arjuna that the Jiva takes birth according to karma and ignorance. So he's forced to take birth again and again, according to his karma, pious and impious. And so the Jiva changes his body according to that, piety and impiety. Sarasat yoni janmasu, he says later. But I keep my sarup, because I am the Supreme. This is beyond logic. Yeah, we'll get to that. So Ishvara means the Supreme Lord, and it indicates that therefore Krishna is non-different from his body, whereas the Jiva is different from his body, therefore he has to change it. But someone who's Ishvara, it's not different from his body. There's no need to change him. So therefore, Avyayatma, his Atma is indestructible, doesn't change. And he says, Prakritim Svam Adishtaya, I'm situated in my property. He's talking about his Sarup. Satchidananda Sarup, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, this word property means. Satchidananda Sarup. Because property could be taken as material. And so the Vaishnavacharyas attack the Mayavadis, who might try to prove that yes, God's form is material, because it's made, he says that my body is made of prakriti in this verse. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says that this word prakriti can also mean Satchidananda Sarup, not just the material nature, but the chit shakti. Then Sridhar Swami says it refers to Shuddha Sattva. Ramanujacharya says it refers to his Swabhav, the Lord's Swabhav. That means Satchidananda, free from the material nature. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the word prakriti means chit shakti or yoga maya. It's the Lord's original form, but it appears like a human form. Because like when Vishnu comes, like it's like, you know, effulgence and, you know, this, everybody can see this is God. But Krishna has come, he's the original of Vishnu, and he appears like an ordinary human. So this is Yogamaya. It's Chit Shakti. But it's kind of in Nara Lila, Lokavat Lila Kaivalyam, Brahma Sutras say. When the Lord comes, he comes just like an ordinary person, Lokavat. Now, the word Atmamaya is described. Sridhar Swami says it means the potency of complete and infallible knowledge and strength. The potency of complete and infallible knowledge and strength. In other words, like Gyan Shakti and Bal Shakti, something like this. Complete. Purna, Gyan Shakti and Purna, Bal Shakti. And Ramanuja says that here the word Maya means Jnana, his own knowledge. This is confirmed in the Sanskrit dictionary. The word maya also can mean jnana. Ramanujacharya has mentioned. Well, Prabhupada comments here. He remembers everything of his many, many past births, whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. Prabhupada's revealing the nature of the Nitya Bhada Jiva. Can't even remember, you know, what he did a few hours before. And yet, men often dare to claim to be God. What a joke. Come on, Prabhus. Now, Prabhupada mentions prakriti means nature, svabhava. Right? So he is just describing Ramanuja's statement, as well as Sarup, which is the statement of Sarup, or of Vishwanath Chakravarti, or one's own form. Anyway, that's another. So that's what prakriti. Sarup, that's the translation of Sarup. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from the Sanskrit dictionary. He says, in the Sanskrit dictionary it is written, Sam siddhi prakritis tve me sarupancha svabhavascha. That the word sam siddhi or prakriti mean sarup or Swabhava. So some city and property are the similar words. Maybe it has some relevance to the question that we were asked about some city. Karmana. Karmanaiva, some city, right? Maybe, anyway. But that's a different definition of the word some city and property. It means sarupascha, swabhavascha. One's own form and one's own nature. Prabhupada also writes, the Lord's appearance in His original form, or His appearance in His original form, is His causeless mercy bestowed upon the living entities so that they can concentrate on the Supreme Lord as He is, and not on mental concoctions or imaginations, which the impersonalist wrongly thinks the Lord's forms to be. The word Maya or Atma Maya refers to the Lord's causeless mercy according to the Vishva Kosh dictionary. So Prabhupada also is quoting from the dictionary. It can mean the Lord's mercy or His own sweet will, he often said in some lectures. So this, all the commentators have made statements about these words, prakriti, atmamaya, and so forth. This is like protecting the Lord, because now the Lord is speaking about Himself, and if somebody misinterprets these words, they can send everybody to hell by making them into Maya bodies and offenders. So therefore all the Vaishnava Acharyas, they all jump and they write wrong commentaries with definitions from the dictionaries and all this. So anyway, whatever I could find, I've told you now. So you have it in your notes. So if you meet any Mayavadis, then you can quote them from Ramanuja, Sridhar Swami, you know, from Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. Let us finish the section. Okay. So, Arjuna asks, alright, so you're appearing in such a wonderful way, but when do you appear? And Krishna answers in text 7.
Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam madharmasya tadatmanam shajamyaham.
Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Being unable to tolerate the decline of dharma and the increase of adharma, I appear to reverse the situation. Krishna can't tolerate when the dharma rises. So here again you have the word atmanam shrijami, which is Madhu Sudan Saraswati, also a great scholar, says, with the help of yoga maya, I exhibit my nitya siddha deha as if it were created by material nature. So this Madhusudan Saraswati is quoted by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And it's a very interesting comment. With the help of yoga maya, I exhibit my nitya siddha deha, my eternally liberated, perfected form, with the help of yoga maya, as if it were created by material nature. In other words, it looks ordinary to the people who were present 5,000 years ago. Not all of them understood that Krishna was God. Only very enlightened persons like the Pandavas and Bhishma and a few others. Drona also. But very few people could understand. Because although it's his...